Hallelujah. Go ahead and open up to Hebrews chapter 4. This is really a continuation from last Sunday. We're talking about the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. We'll probably put a different name on this one. I'm going to review that illustration again. That's why Mike brought up these chairs. Mike, I need them brought in a little closer this time. I need this one right about here. And the same on the other side, about that distance. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us, starting in verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." The analogy given there, the joints, you can't see your bone joints, can you? Aren't they on the inside? Aren't you glad you have them? I'm glad they work, you know. My elbow joints, my wrist joints, shoulder joints, I'm glad all that works, but I just have to almost take it on faith that I've got them. I've seen those x-rays, but how did I know they didn't make that up, you know? But as hidden as the joints are, it's interesting he goes to the marrow. Because now the marrow, that's even deeper than the joints. Marrow is on the inside of the bone. You talk about something that's hard to see, especially while you're using it. Why, you're living and functioning. I think I will examine my marrow. I don't recommend that. Yet it's in there, isn't it? But it's hard to discern. That's the analogy he's giving. See, as we walk this life in this world, even though we're not of this world, we're not really normal human beings anymore. Your friends are right. You're not normal. You're an alien from another world. The life that's on the inside of you did not originate on this planet. Yet it's hidden and it's not seen. Well, it's also hard to see. The brain is one thing, you know, to see the physical brain, but really the mind is inside of there. It's more like the marrow. How do you see thoughts? How do you open it up and see the thoughts and the intents of the heart, see? It's almost impossible. But we're told here that the Word of God, and that Greek word is logos, it's the entire counsel of God. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the logos. Every time there, it's logos. Jesus is the full, exact image. Let's see. Not exact. In Hebrews it says he is the express image of God. He is the full manifestation. Hallelujah. But how do we walk as a heaven-born spirit creature in a world that we're not even of, yet wearing flesh that is of this world, and a mind? The mind is an amazing thing, and I'm going to say mind, but I'm including the soul. The mind is one component of the soul of man. And again, I don't have time for this lesson to go all the way back to spirit, soul, and body. That's what these three chairs represent. We have chapter and verse. I pray that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of the Lord. God is a three-part being, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He made man in his image, spirit, soul, body. We are a three-part being also. And only the Word of God has this ability to go in and examine, almost like you would examine the marrow. See, the marrow is where the blood gets its life from. Isn't that right? See? And only the Word of God. Sometimes you think you're doing the right thing, and it's a right thing according to the world. Many parents wind up enabling their children. And they're trying to do the right thing, but from God's point of view, it's a stench in his nostrils. And they've forgotten the Word of God, where it says that prodigal was out there, and once he went through his inheritance, He got down so low he was about, now for a Jewish boy, it doesn't get much lower than this. He got so hungry he's about to put his face in the trough with the pigs and eat the same food they were going to eat. That's pretty low. And there's a little sentence there that most people miss. And it says, "And no man gave unto him." And finally one day, the Holy Spirit showed me the significance of that, and I wrote in the margin of my Bible, "Thank God." Sometimes you got to hit bottom. Sometimes you got to hit bottom and bounce a couple of times. Gary, how do you know that? That's none of you, but been there. I've about done my bouncing. Thank you. What I'm saying is, we can have things that in our mind is so good to do. I'm going to help. But really, it's not the mind of Christ. It's not the mind of God. Only His Word can help us separate those things. Dave originally gave me my first understanding of this when he said, "Now, sometimes it's hard to know, you know." He says, "How do you know if you're functioning, the decisions you're making are by the Spirit or coming out of your soul?" He said healing would be or when you're sick is a good time to examine that. If you're going around saying, "I'm sick," and maybe all the symptoms are there. Achoo! 100-degree fever, achy all over. Can't keep anything down. But you start talking, "Well, I'm really sick." Well, that's the soul man. That's coming out of your soul. That's the guy that's moved by what he sees. That's the guy that renders decisions based on circumstances. Because if for the born-again person, you ask him, the one that's been renewed in his mind, you'd ask him, "Got the same symptoms." What's he going to say? "By his stripes, I was healed. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Yeah, but look at the circumstances. But the Spirit says, look at His Word. See that? I think we're through with Hebrews 4. Go to Galatians just for a moment. John, there's a good book out. It's by this Dave Roberson guy. The title of it is really something. It's called The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. That is the mission of this church, is to get us and many other people walking by our spirit man instead of walking by our soul. But most people, probably yours truly more than I know, still walking by the soul way more than we are by the spirit. Now, Paul was writing to the Galatians about this. And there were people there trying to put them back under the law. You're going to see a good illustration of this in a minute. But these people had been born again. They had received a new nature. And you'll see here in a minute, if you're walking by the new nature, you're not under the law anymore. Now watch this. So Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 13. It says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." Now this is where the title of the book comes from, I think, right here. Verse 16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So what's the answer? Walk in the Spirit. That's why I love Dave's book. I love this church. The walk of the Spirit, the walk of power. See, if we're going to really walk in power, if we're going to walk in revival, it's our spirit man is going to be walking. Our spirit man has got to be the one on the throne. Our spirit man has got to be the one making decisions, not the mind. Now, the mind is very important. The soul of man is very important. That's why he's having me do these lessons. But our soul, a big part of the renewing of the soul. See, one of my favorite verses is Romans 12:2, that you be no more conformed to this world, but that you be renewed by the transformation of your mind, by the renewing of your mind. Do you remember that? Well, a big part of that renewing is not just knowledge. It's renewing the mind to take its place subservient to the Spirit. A big part of that renewal is for the mind to come to a great revelation. Mind, you're not in charge anymore. Mind, you're not the decision maker anymore. I walk by my Spirit. And soul, you are a tool of my Spirit. Just like a laptop is to me. A laptop's a wonderful thing. But it'll be a cold... Can I say it'll be a cold day? It'll be a cold day when my laptop starts ordering me around. Be something. Be sitting there in a service. My laptop says. A voice comes from my laptop. Go give Joe $1,000. See, I know that's not God right there. So. Teasing. Do you know that as ridiculous as that would be for my laptop to start giving me instructions? Do you know that's exactly, from God's point of view, that's what we're doing all the time. Our soul, which is supposed to be the laptop, it's the one making all the decisions. And that Spirit that he gave us is so, we're so out of touch with it, that we go around saying all the time, I don't anymore, but I hear this all the time, I just can't hear God. You never lied bigger in your life. What, Gary? No, you can hear God. That's why he gave you that Spirit. Wow. You're going to have a hard time walking with him if you can't. It says walk. Now look, what does it say? If you walk, it says walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You're going to have a real hard time doing that if you can't hear God. Your spirit man can hear God too. The illustration will help here in a little bit. The illustration will help. Did you get that part though? The key is to walk in the Spirit. Did you get that? All right. Go over one book to Ephesians 4. And this is where we're going to spend most of our day here. And we're talking about our walk. Look at Ephesians 4. Let's start in verse 17. I'm really after some verses further down, but we've got to lay some foundation and we've got time. Ephesians 4. Now look at verse 17. This I say, what? Therefore. One preacher said, when you find the word therefore, you need to find out what it is therefore. So let's back up a little bit more here. How about we start in verse 11? And he gave, and that's Jesus, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What did he give them for? For the perfecting, and that means the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body, the whole body of Christ. Remember the joints and marrows? Okay. All right. The whole body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. How many of us? Okay. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. That means a mature man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In Pottawatomie County, we'd say, till we grow up. And he makes that clear in the next verse, that we henceforth be no more children. Well, if you're no more children, it's because you grew up. Grow up. Sue and I use that all the time in our counseling sessions. You may not want to be in our counseling sessions. Hey, what's wrong with you? Grow up. And they'll say something. Shut that up. Quit talking like. See, we can't say shut up here. Come to a counseling session. Shut up. Stop it with that. Quit talking like that, you liar. How many want counseling right now? No, I'm teasing. You know what we really do anymore? We don't do so much counseling anymore. Rather than spend an hour counseling, if I can, I'll get you to pray an hour. Because the Holy Spirit's a better counselor than I am. He'll straighten you out better than I can. Amen? Now how many wants counseling? What are we going to do? We're going to pray in tongues for an hour. What? I'm going to find somebody who will talk to my soul. Pet me. I didn't say that out loud, did I? Verse 14 again, that we henceforth, from this point forward, be no more children. I am tired of being a child, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. And I'm telling you, there's a wind about every day. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, if you grow up, you're not going to be trapped by those guys. You just won't. You won't be captured by them anymore. Once you know the truth, it really does set you free. Because you can't unknow it. You can disobey it. But you can't unknow it. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. How many wants that? Boy, I want that. I want to grow up into him. No more a child, no more tossed to. Don't want anybody coming and telling me, you know, and I could just pick a thousand things here, but, well, God put it on my heart, Psalms 37:1 today. So if you want a blessing from God, come and write a check for $37.10. If you really want a blessing, make it $371. And for those that want to really have the biggest blessing of all, make it $3,710. Oh, shut up. You deceiver lying in wait to get my money? God never said nothing like that. I know I didn't say that, Ella. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, hello, whole body, here we go again. Fitly joined together. Here's that joints again. And compacted by that which every joint supplies. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Your part is... Now he started off up here with apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And if you want to know the truth of it, they are your servants. Their job is to get you joint to where you're supplying your part. They are slaves to you. You know, Paul used I'd have to go back and look at my notes again. One time he used a word for slave that's not normally used. It's usually doulos. But he used a Greek word for slave one time that it's only used one way. And it's a particular kind of slave. And it's a galley slave. You know what a galley slave is? You seen those movies where they got the guys down on the lower level and they're the ones inside the boat where it's hot and sweaty and somebody's doing the drum thing with the cadence and all they do is row. All they do is row. They don't ever get to see the landscape going by. They don't ever see the scenery. They don't ever get to have a day off. They don't ever have anything pleasant. And that's the word that Paul used to describe his assignment from God to us. I am your galley slave. I'm not here to have a good time. I'm not here to live my best life now. I am here to lay down my life for you. And that's really what this says. He gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Their job is to get your joint effectual. Grow you up. Quit treating you like a child, but grow you up out of childhood. And I'm preaching to me as much as I'm preaching to you. Amen? Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now we're to our verse. This I say therefore. So in other words, how many wants that to happen? I do. I want it to happen. I want to grow up, no more be a child. Well, okay, he says therefore. If that's you, let's talk some more here. So I testify in the Lord that you, if you don't want to be like that, from this day forward, you don't walk like the Gentiles, the other Gentiles walk. Well, how do they walk? How do they walk? In the vanity of their mind. Now he's talking about unsaved people. Having the understanding. Now that's, you could just write soul right there. Having the understanding darkened. being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, and that just means no restraint. I grew up in the 70s, 60s and 70s. A good modern way to say lasciviousness, if it feels good, do it. Okay? To work all uncleanness with greediness. So there you go. Uncleanness and money. But you have not so learned Christ. Now I'm going to go ahead and read down a ways and then we're going to do our illustration. Okay? You have not so learned Christ. Now when he says you've not so learned Christ, now he's switching and talking to born again people now. He just got through describing unsaved Gentiles who walk in the vanity of their mind. But now he's turning around and he's saying, but you are not like them. You didn't learn, you've not so learned Christ. In other words, he's not going to teach you to walk that way. Lasciviousness and greediness, all of that, see. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Now, who puts this guy off? The grace teachers will tell you it's all been done already. Sorry. Paul says you put him off. No. I don't want to do nothing. Well, you got to put him off. Put off concerning the former conversation, that old man. He is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I think that's going to mean so much more to you here in a minute. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What I mean is in this illustration we're going to do. And then first you got to put off, and then that you put on. Who puts it on? You put on the new man. Whether you walk in the spirit every day is up to you, not God. Here recently, he told me, he was teaching that whole thing about Jesus says, you want to be my disciple? You got to put your flesh on that cross every day. Remember that? And then calling in the lost. I was just minding my own business, just preaching away. And he said to me, I never heard it before, never heard anybody since. I heard him say as plain as anything. Well, every day, one of you is going to be on the cross. Either you're going to put the flesh on the cross, or the flesh is going to put your spirit on the cross. But you're not going to coexist because you can't. And what I mean is coexist, you're not going to both have their way. That's not how it works. That's Galatians. We'll go back over there. For the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. The two are incompatible. One of them is going to be on the cross. So he says, put on this new man. Well, what do we know about the new man? Which after God, and that means in God's image, is created. Now, at the instant it was created, at the instant you were born again, at that instant you have a new man on the inside that is righteous and truly holy. Instantly. Now, he's not full grown. He doesn't know everything. He has a lot to learn. But his nature from the get-go is righteousness, true holiness. Written in that spiritual mind, by the way, is the law of God. The Ten Commandments are in that nature. We call it a conscience. It's a real conscience. That you put on this new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, notice here, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. All right. Now, this is where I'm going to start doing some visuals again. I'm going to hopefully do my best to describe in audio what I'm doing, because there's many people that can only hear the message and not see the message. I thank God for everybody who's helping us post these videos when we can. But in front of the platform here, we have three chairs. I don't have signs, but spirit, the middle one, soul, and the one on that side, body. Spirit, soul, body. This throne right here, this chair that's up on top of the platform, and I've got it lined up behind the spirit man on purpose, this represents Christ on his throne. How many of you know that the Word was on the throne before the earth was created. I mean, there's always been the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. There wasn't anything made without the Word, no, not one single thing, amen. He's always been. So he has always been there, and God made man in his image. Three times, remember we taught that about a year or two ago, three times back there in Genesis, in two consecutive verses, God says, in the image of God created he man. And Hebrews tells us, Christ is the express image of God. So how was man created? He was created in the image of Christ. Now he wasn't created as God. He was created as a man, made in the image of God, made after the likeness of God. That's how God. So man's spirit originally was alive to God. God would come, walk with him in the garden. Amen. Now, at the fall, and I don't know how else to represent this. At the fall, you know, God had told man, the day you disobey my word, the day you eat that forbidden fruit, and that very day, you'll surely die. Well, we know from the Bible that it wasn't his flesh that died. His flesh lived to be over 900 years old. Am I right? What part of him died that day? Spirit man. So if you'll allow me, for benefit that can't see what I'm doing, I'm taking the spirit, the chair that represents the spirit of man. It's no longer in contact, fellowship with God the way it was before. Death came into that spirit. And I'm going to pick it up, and I'm going to move it down here, and I'm going to align it with the flesh, with the body of man. See, I know my body is still not saved. Have you figured out yours isn't either? My body would eat Krispy Kreme donuts until it just couldn't even walk. My body thinks the first 12 are really good. Then you get down to serious Krispy Kreme eating after that. The first 12 is an appetizer, you know. And I'm just using that as when my body is not saved. I mean, it basically does believe if it feels good will to do that, you know. The problem is, what happened at the fall, the spirit of man aligned with that. The spirit of man, it had death working in it. So now you got the spirit and the body in agreement. Well, that's a mess. So what did God do? The only thing left over here was the soul, which originally was supposed to be the servant of the spirit man. But now, because the spirit and the flesh are in alignment, God, he gives the mind of man something. I wish I had a scroll. Can I use this paper right here, Daisy? I'm going to use this like a scroll, like an Old Testament scroll. So, because this is a pitiful condition. The spirit of man is dead. It's not alive to God anymore. It's aligned now with the flesh. You remember Noah's day? What did God say? He looked down and the whole earth had gone the way of the flesh. Well, now you know why. Okay? So God looks at this and says, what am I going to do? So he carves out this nation through Abraham. He gathers a people that didn't even exist before. And to them, he gives something. And I got a piece of paper here representing a scroll. He gives them the Ten Commandments. It's for the mind. He gives them the Ten Commandments. And really, it's more than just the Ten Commandments. We have all of the Levitical law, all of the law back there. And he says, live like this. Remember the guy in Romans 7? He says, well, you know, I wouldn't have known it's wrong to covet. See, the flesh doesn't think there's anything wrong with that. You know what the flesh thinks about Bruce's stuff? Bruce is sitting over there. The flesh looks at Bruce's stuff and he says, you know what I think? I think my stuff is my stuff. And I think your stuff is my stuff. That's the flesh. That's the nature of the flesh. And the spirit man goes, yeah, buddy. Okay? And if the mind, if that's the only input that there is, the mind will join together. And pretty soon, or after Bruce's stuff, go to war, you know. One country, go to war against another country. Amen? So God gives the mind. I was teaching along this line one time, and a friend of mine in South Carolina, he says, my God, Brother Gary, you mean under the old covenant, the mind of man was the best part of man? I said, yes, sir. That's all he had to work with. And that's the guy in Romans 7 he was in this condition, not born again. And he says, I would not have known it's wrong to covet Bruce's stuff. except you gave me your law and I opened it up and I read it. It says, thou shalt not covet. And it's going, who knew? Coveting is wrong. Now, so here's religion. Here's man, the unborn again man, trying to please a holy God. Now, there's a lot more that goes with this. You know I'm giving you the basics, right? The real mercy of God is not the law. The real mercy of God are the sacrifices that came with the law. Because nobody could keep this. You think God knew that when he gave it to him? So what else did he give them? He gave them the animal sacrifice and all the different kinds of sacrifices. All of those point to the day when the real Lamb of God would come. That's another message, okay? So I'm just giving the basics. So all the way up until Christ, man, under that old covenant, he was to function by the knowledge of the law through the power of his soul to rein in the flesh. Dave has given us analogy after analogy. You remember the wolf named Cain? And see, God loved man, for God so loved the world. Well, what world is that? That whole lost world? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that those who believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Well, God loved the world. Dave loved Cain. But see, in the same way that man had a wolf nature, if you'll allow me, Cain had a wolf nature. I've seen Cain stand flat-footed in the kitchen at Dave's house and eat off the counter. It's a big... He had just enough dog in him to be legal, like 3% or 5% or something, just hardly any. And is it right? Am I telling the truth? His head was like this wide. You know, he would... They got a hot tub there, and that thing would use the lid of it for a frisbee. He would. He'd get that thing and sling it. Zoom, zoom. A hot tub lid. You ever seen a hot tub lid? Shoom, shoom. He thought the siding on the house with toothpicks. I need another toothpick. He'd rip another slat off the side of the house. But him and Dave, man, they just play and everything. But then, and I have Dave, I can't improve how Dave says it. He says, but Cain would come home. He'd have chicken feathers all over his mouth. Cain? Have you been out eating the neighbor's chickens? And in perfect wolf language, Cain would say, no. Feathers coming off his mouth. So even though Dave loved Cain, he had the nature of a wolf. So what did he have to do? He had to put a chain. He had to restrain that nature. He hated to do it, but he had to in order to protect all the other people. See, that's exactly what God did with the law. Because man with that sin nature, that's just who he is. He doesn't even know it's wrong to covet. He doesn't know it's wrong to lie. He doesn't know it's wrong. It all seems normal and natural to him. So God gives him the law. Gives it to the soul of man, to the mind of man. Intellectual knowledge. And now man is trying to live by the power of the soul. Something, it'd be like us trying to live by the power of my laptop. Something that was never designed to do. But it's all God had to work with. Well, at the rebirth, something wonderful happens. Now, for benefit of those that can't see me, I'm taking the spirit chair. When you get born again, we just read it there in Ephesians. The instant you are born again, created in you is a new spirit. I'm moving the chair over in front where it started out, lined up with Christ in heaven. There is a new creature created on the inside of you. It's a spirit man that is created in righteousness and true holiness. And get this, doesn't have to go to church to learn it. The instant it's born again, the law of God is written in its mind and in its heart. This dude knows. Now, it's not the Levitical law. It's the law of God. Sometimes referred to in the New Testament, the law of love. You remember that verse we read there? This one word is the fulfilling of all the law, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This spirit man, the instant it is born again, or say the instant you're born again, that same instant, it is created in righteousness and true holiness. So if you'll allow me, I'm going to lay the scroll right here to represent. This guy knows right and wrong. This guy knows righteousness and holiness. He's born that way. Now, he's not all-knowing. There's a lot of things to be taught. But when it comes to righteousness, that's why it says Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to all who believe. Because you got a spirit from Him. You got a spirit from Him. Is that good stuff or what? But now here's why. Now let's get back to Ephesians. So we're born again. Now, let's take Gary, not you. Let's take Gary. I got born again at age 33. So for 33 years, my soul lived in a fallen world, was educated by a fallen world, and was dealing with a sin nature. Everything my soul thought was truth came that way. And suddenly I get born again. And there's a new man on the inside of Gary, a spirit. And that spirit is made in the image of Christ. I'm making gestures with my hands that's going to be really hard for the audio only. So what I'm doing, I'm standing in between the chairs representing the soul and the flesh. I'm living in that realm. Then I get born again and suddenly there's a spirit on the inside of me. And I'm kind of pointing to it, but I'm still living in this realm. Because that's where my soul has been trained. And I'm saying, oh, there's somebody new on the inside of me? Somebody new? You know, there's a war that starts that day. A war. It started in me that very first week. Because up until that time, I'll just go ahead and say it again. I know you look at me now and you think, what? But up until that day I got born again, I had a porn collection. I was proud of it. When I would buy my Playboys, I'd buy the plastic cover so I could keep them in pristine condition. I wasn't ashamed of it either. If you came over, I was proud to show it to you. Yeah, you know, had a whole bunch of them for years. The day I got born again, nobody had to preach to me. Something was preaching from the inside out. That porn's got to go. What? Do you know how much money I have invested in that? Well, I've spent years with that collection. And I've been a good steward of it too, by the way. How sick can you be? You know? Pretty sick. Aren't you glad I'm preaching and not you, or you have to tell your stuff? You know? You wait, it's your turn. This war started between that new man and my soul and my flesh for sure. And my, what? And there were other things, language, the kind of entertainment, on and on and on we could go. There was a war started, but that's not really the lesson for today now. Okay? What we're really talking about, we've grown up beyond there. What I'm really preaching about here is walking in revival instead of walking in religion. Okay? Alright? Alright, but you see the illustration there. Now, back to where that passage we just read. We want to grow up. Now, we've been born again in this church, and if you're listening for a long time, many years, some of us decades, okay? And yet still, a lot of the time I feel like a child, blown around by every wind of doctrine. And I'm wondering myself, well, why when I pray don't the blind eyes open and that kind of thing, see? Okay? Because Jesus said they would. Well, the gospel is not going to change. God is not going to change. The devil's not going to change. We're the ones that have to change. And Paul told us how that process worked. So, I'm going to walk up here where I can read again for a little bit. Back in Ephesians, just for a moment. I want to refresh your mind now what he said. He said, we'll pick it up in verse 22. That you put, see really, that this is good. We'll start in verse 17. That illustration there is really 17 through 21. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Having the understanding darkened. Why? They don't have that life of God on the inside of them. They don't have access to that, see? Being alienated from the life of God. Why? They don't have that new spirit on the inside. Through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. but you have not so learned Christ. And that's a good illustration of what I just went through. But let's go on beyond there now. If so be you have heard of him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. But now, put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Now he's saying that to born again people. If you'll allow me for today's teaching purposes. He said that to born again people, did he not? Alright. When I am functioning in this realm between the soul and my flesh, when I'm living over here, that's the old man. That's the guy that understands religion. That's the guy who doesn't really consider himself to be a... You know what he does? And I started out this way. As I would get revelation knowledge and understand, like I would see Jesus and how pure he is and everything he is, I would stand here and make what I call mirror confessions. Jesus, and it's not wrong to do this, as you are, so am I in this world. But what I was really doing, I was still identifying with the guy operating out of the soul and dealing with the flesh. I saw myself always standing here trying to get there. And where he's moving us now is, and I taught this last week, I think, he's trying to move us over here to understand, no, soul, you're not even in charge anymore. The renewing is, take your proper place as a servant. I, myself, now I've got to really identify here. No, I am a child of God. I am a spirit. I am born again. Over here, I got to read a little more here to illustrate this. Paul laid it out really good. So he says, starting verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, for today's teaching, can I say attitude? Can I say position? The position of your mind? Where you're standing? Who you perceive yourself to be? Are you struggling to be like him? Or how are you already made like him? And I would say both. Positionally, I know I've already been made like him. But trying to walk that out, I'm finding out, is a little more difficult. Okay? And that you put on this new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Then wherefore? In other words, well, okay, let's talk about it. How do you do some of that? Well, just put away lying. Now watch this. Notice how he worded that. He said it like a person with authority. Just put it away. Just put it away. And again, I have to keep remembering people can't see what I'm doing. When Paul wrote that, he's talking to the spirit man. He's talking to the man in authority, the one that's living, understanding, not standing between the chair of the soul and the flesh, but standing in between the chairs of the soul and the spirit. See, here's the soul man trying to live like God. Jesus, you don't lie. Your word says that as you are, so am I in this world. I'm trying, Jesus. I'm trying not to lie. I'm going to make a confession. I will not lie. I will not lie. I do not lie. I will not lie. I do not lie. And nothing is wrong with that. Knowledge is coming. You're renewing your mind to the knowledge of the truth, you know. But there's a big difference. Yes, sir. Okay. Boy, you wait till it's your turn up here. It's going to be your turn somewhere in the world. You watch and you'll be telling your stuff. For years, I would read Romans 6. Shall we continue in sin that grace shall abound? And I'm smoking away over there, filling up that little ugly building. It wasn't a Shekinah glory cloud. I'm telling you right now, it's clouds of nicotine. Smoking away. And I'd read that and I'd go, maybe? And the next two words, God forbid. And say, how can we who are dead to sin continue any longer therein? And I'm going, I don't know. I'm smoking. I don't know, but I am. I don't get it. And so I'm walking there. I didn't know what else to do. I just took Romans 6. And I made a present tense confession out of that. And I just started saying about myself. I was walking and smoking. And I could pick anything here now. It's just, I'm telling you about my deal. Okay? Walking and smoking. And I'm going, I do not continue in sin. I've been buried with Christ in His baptism into death. I've been resurrected unto new life. And I walk according to that new life. And I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a slave to righteousness. And I would confess it and confess it. But now I see a big part of what I was doing. I still so identified as the old Gary. That guy who was weak in the flesh. That guy who had always struggled. That guy who could not be free. What if my stronghold had been lying? Wouldn't it be the same thing? Well, I'm trying to quit lying. Why are you still lying? I don't know. Do you know what's wrong? Yeah. Why are you doing it? I don't know. We call those strongholds, you know. I'm trying to quit lying. And I would stand in this position between my soul and my flesh. And I'd admire Jesus. And I wouldn't call Him a liar that there's a new man on the inside of me. But see, to me, that's not really me. I know who I am. I'm the guy that can't quit lying. I try and I fail. I try and I fail. Paul is saying, Gary, grow up. Step across into who you really are. Take your place as the child of God that He has made you. Get over into the position of authority that you truly are as a son. And just put away lying. Did you know I eventually had to do that with the smoking? I had to put it away. And it was not easy. I know God delivers some people without any withdrawals. I thank God for that. He most certainly did not do that for me. I had to put it away. And it was not easy. But it's been over a decade now. In our second decade now. And thank God I put it away. But I could have done that a decade earlier if I'd have known this. So now the whole church, I'll tell you where we are right now. The whole church, we're coming into revival. I admire that, Dave. I'm telling you. Boy, I'm telling you. And it's good to admire Dave. I admire Dave. Boy, that Bronk, he's pressing in. Thank God for Bronk down in Immokalee, you know. And that Jim Martin, yeah. This one and that one. And Jesus, if you were here, boy, we'd be in revival. And that whole time, He's looking at us going, grow up. Be no longer. When are you going to believe what I said? When are you going to believe that what I told you is the truth? You are not that person caught between the soul and the flesh anymore. Quit thinking that's who you are. That's not who you are. That's the Old Testament guy trying to serve God with religion. And I'm telling you right now, giving more won't solve that problem. Believing more solves the problem. Believing what He said. So look how Paul words this here. Everything is like a command. It's like, I'm going to stand over here to even read it. Because this is written to the reborn spirit you. It's to the real you. Not the one that's still a slave to the flesh. So he says, wherefore? Verse 25, Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore? I love how this is worded now. Put away lying. I can't. Grow up. Yes, you can. Grow up. Let's say it another way. Believe the gospel. Believe this word. Believe what I told you. Well, it's hard. Grow up. Put the flesh on the cross. No, it hurts. That's what a cross is for. It's supposed to hurt. It's called death. Put away lying and speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. It's okay to be angry. But don't sin. The New Testament still says, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Now, Jesus would get angry. Don't tell me he didn't get angry. He did too. Made that scourge of whip, that whip and went in there and overturned it. Do you think he went in there all nice and like, pardon me while I overturn your money table? take a little whip and tap, tap, tap. Do you think that's how it was? My Father's house is to be a house of prayer. You have made it a den of thieves, turning the tables over and running them out with that whip, but he did not sin. You know who we're supposed to be angry with? Soul man. Flesh guy. Be angry with that guy. You can be angry and sin not. That time he got so upset with the Pharisees. Not one time, many times. He told them the truth. And he told it in love. Don't tell me he didn't. I know he did. I can't see him saying it like this. You whitewashed tombstones. You brood of vipers. Do you think that's how he said it? Sometimes the truth, you speak it in love, you risk everything for their sake. Because nobody else loves them enough to tell them the truth. In love. You risk everything. Well, that's my boss. If I tell him that, he may fire me. You got another boss. He'll find you another job. His name's Jesus. I think the message of the title is called Grow Up, don't you? Or It's Time to Grow Up, maybe. I don't know. So he says, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Okay? How you do that is start taking vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Don't ever return evil for evil. That's how you give the devil place. Let him that stole, here we go again, steal no more. What if I just said stop it? Let him that stole. Well, why? It's not your nature anymore. It's not your nature. Rather, let him labor. What? Working with his hands? No, I'm called, brother. You're called to provide for your family. And if you don't, you're worse than an unbeliever. I will always lose a few members every time it cycles back around to get a job, lazy man. You know. Then there's some of us, like me and Mike Quitmire. Well, he and I haven't spent all that much time in fellowship, but I know this man like I can read. He and I, we're cut from the same cloth. His problem is we're workaholics. We'd rather work than do anything else. God's going, slow down and pray. What? No, I got to go work. Am I telling the truth? So the devil has a plan for either way. If you're lazy, he's got a plan for that guy. If you're a workaholic, he's got a plan for that guy too. See? All right. But actually go get a job. Work with your hands the thing which is good. Why? So you'll have a lot of stuff for yourself. Oh. Though that you'll have something to give to him that's really in need and can't work. Look how this is worded. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Notice how these are all worded. Just don't do it. Well, and I'm preaching, I'm using me now. Come on, don't. All those years that I kept smoking, I can see it so clearly now. I was simply identifying with the old man way more than I was identifying with the new man. And I didn't want to face the hell my flesh would put me through if I stood up to it. Well, grow up, Gary. Grow up, church. We are not this guy anymore, the one in between the soul and the flesh. Now we are this guy, born again, the spirit of man. Now you understand why he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Your mind has got... Who was it telling Gary all that time he wasn't free? Was it the Spirit of God? It was my flaky brain. It was my soul. That mollycoddled, if that's a word, mollycoddled the flesh. Doesn't like discomfort. And thought I knew more than God. I know who I am. I have to stand over here to do that. I know who I am. I don't care what this says. I can't quit smoking. Liar. Pants on fire. That is coming directly from my unrenewed soul. My laptop is making that decision. My laptop is telling the spirit man, go jump in the lake. And he says, put that guy off. How would you do that? It's called believing. Believe. Repent and believe the gospel. What gospel? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. For years I didn't know what that meant. If you leave it in the context of this whole chapter, this whole teaching, how you grieve him is not believing the gospel. How you grieve him is continually believing your soul instead of the truth that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's how you grieve him. No, I'm not free. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Dave said it again and again on the born again trail. The Holy Spirit only has one thing to work with, and that's your new nature. But if you don't cooperate with that new nature, you're starting to function out of the soul. The anointing's not in your soul. It's not there. The Holy Spirit doesn't work with this. The laptop is not anointed. It's the spirit of man that's anointed with dominion, with power. Rise up, agree, declare, and have. Now, first we're taking dominion over our own self. First Jerusalem, then Samaria, then the uttermost parts of the earth. First ourself. Second is, I'm just picking, cancer, cerebral palsy. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And the works that he did, you're going to do exactly the same things. How God anointed Joe with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. On and on and on, just every one of us. That's the body. Now, not everybody is called a full-time healing ministry. That's why it says are all healers. No, that's not their main thing. But every one of us is a joint. Every one of us has marrow. Every one of us is part of the body. And what he's after is for us to find our place. If I am an elbow in the body of Christ, I want to be a really good elbow. I want to be the elbow he created me to be. Where my elbow is really important between my forearm and my upper arm. It's really important. I'm so glad. I'm moving my arm so those that can't see me. I'm so glad it's there. What if it wasn't? It would hinder the body. But the whole body's been hindered because none of us even hardly know where we're supposed to be. Why is that? We don't believe what he said. And we don't yield to the teacher, the Holy Ghost, who will put you right where you're created to be. He will get you right there. Y'all enjoying this? Let me finish this chapter here. Verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath and anger, and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Here's that put away again. Put off the old man with all malice. I'm telling you a good prayer for that one. Lord, set a watch upon my lips that I learn not to sin against thee. If you'll pray that and ask him, I'm telling you it's amazing. When I don't do that, It seems like I'll say stuff and then wish I hadn't said it. But if I remember that, Lord, help me. Help me. Set a watch on my... It's amazing. It's like I'll have a half a second or maybe a second to consider before I say. Then I can say it better. Because the real you doesn't say that stuff anyway. Not that way. And be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Thank God for that. Be you therefore followers of God as dear children. In other words, as He is, so are we in this world. We're supposed to follow Him. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and has given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Now He's talking to us again. I'm going to get over here because this is who we have to be now. We are spirit-born children. Total dominion over the flesh. Sure, there may be strongholds. He gave you a tool to use against that. It's called praying in other tongues and fasting. Every stronghold must come down. Every captive must be set free. Amen. I remember that song that Sue sung that day. Every stronghold of bondage must come down. Every prisoner captive must be free. Amen. Well, that strongholds in us and in strongholds in others have to come down. So from this position, we say, but fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, could I say greediness, same thing. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. You're not that person anymore. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor jesting, and you can put foolish there too. You know what that's really, it's talking about dirty jokes. Now come on. Foolish talking and joking all the time. Filthiness. But rather giving of thanks. And we could just go on and on here. Listen. It's time for us to repent and believe the gospel. We are who God says we are. We have what He says we have. We can do what He says we can do. It's if, and I've got victory now over the smoking. There's other things. Gary, what are they? None ya. I'm not asking you about your stuff, but I'm telling you, I'm seeing I'm much more rapid maturity now. Now that I understand this, I'm not trying to get here. I am here. That's the gospel. We keep trying to get what He's already given us. And what He's trying to get us to do is believe what He's already given us. Stand in that position. No longer make confession unto, but stand here and dictate to our soul. We don't lie anymore. Why don't we? Because that's not who we are. We don't fornicate anymore. We don't allow the flesh to do those things. That's not who we are. Flesh, bow the knee. And it'll make your life miserable for a while if you're addicted to anything. And that could be gossip too. Soap operas. I don't care what it is. It'll make your life miserable. So what? That's what a cross is for. It's supposed to hurt. Sure hurt Him. And it wasn't His fault. Praise God. Lord, how do I close a service like this? So I wish there was a book written. Because I'm wanting to walk in the Spirit. I'm wanting to walk in power. I wish there was a book, somebody would write a book called something like The Walk of the Spirit. The Walk of Power. Oh, wait a minute. That book has already been written. I would say the author is sitting back there, but he's not. He was the mouth. But the author was Jesus. By the Holy Spirit, He brought that knowledge through Pastor Dave. And He let Pastor Dave put His name on the book. Isn't that good of God? He told me one time, He said, son, you are blessed for my work when you obey me. You get the reward for my work when you obey me. In other words, He did the work, but I get the reward. That's a deal. That's a deal now. All right. Well, if you read that book, what would you find out in there? What are some things you might do that might help you walk in the Spirit a little more? What about praying in other tongues? Oh, see, the more I understand this, praying, yeah, I'm going to sit now in the place where I really am. I'm sitting now in the spirit chair. I understand it so much now. My spirit, man, I love praying in other tongues because it's not Gary making up that language. It is my spirit praying, but it's as the Holy Spirit gives the utterance. My mind over here, no wonder it doesn't like it. It doesn't know what's going on. It doesn't know what's being said, my soul. Boy, my spirit, man. And the Holy Spirit is bringing the very mind of Christ as though I was walking those dusty roads back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John with Him. He is bringing me the mind of Christ for my life no less than He brought it, than Peter or John heard it from the lips of Jesus. The difference now, though, it doesn't come from His lips to my physical ear. It comes from His mind to my spirit by the Holy Ghost. And as my spirit understands it, really it's my spirit then and says, hey, soul, check this out. We're supposed to give away everything free. I can tell you right now the reaction of the soul. You are crazy. We're going to die. We're going to die. I'm telling you right now, that's the soul, okay? The soul, it learns through experience. It does. We've been at this a long time now. My soul, I used to could not hardly sleep, worried about money in the early days. It's been so, we've had things happen now, you know, where I think, God, I ought to worry, you know. And even my own, it's like my own soul says, oh, roll over, go back to sleep. He's already delivered us about 1,000 times. He'll deliver us this time too. Your soul learns by experience. Your spirit man learns directly from God by the Holy Ghost. Okay, I could just go on and go on. Hallelujah. Pray in other tongues. What else might help you put your foot on the neck of the flesh? Should never say that right before noon, but fasting. Confession is a wonderful tool. Confession is a wonderful tool to help renew your mind as to what He really said about you. You know? He's given us some really good tools. But it is really time to grow up. We got a lost world to save. 7 to 8 billion on the planet. The smallest sliver is really saved. The harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. The body needs a lot more joints. We all need to find our place and do what we're supposed to be doing. Did you get anything out of that?